Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship today. Nice to have you here. All shined up on a Sunday morning. Who you got with you here today?
Grandson.
Are you as good a fisherman as your grandpa? Yeah. It's always good to tell the truth on a Sunday morning. Hey, let's greet one another. If you don't know who's sitting in front of you or beside you or behind you, say hello. Last week I was on vacation, but I was home. I didn't worship with you, but I went down to Faith Lutheran Church in Isle. My friend Paul Brown is the pastor down there. And they did the whole liturgy. They sang the liturgy, and the people responded. And I thought, holy smokes, if I ever lead worship after I leave here, I'm going to have to learn the liturgy. And then I thought, if you get a pastor who does the liturgy, you're going to have to learn the liturgy too. But God has a new thing planned, I think, so. Something to look forward to, see how this all plays out. Couple of announcements. We are in need of lawnmowers for the rest of the month and also coffee fellowship. So if that's something you folks could do, that would be great. I want to make sure and let you know that everyone's invited to receive Holy Communion. Don't feel like you're strangers or alone out here. We're all in this together, okay, so please join us. Antonio, I haven't seen you for a coon's age. Stand up here. This was one of the first kids I had in my confirmation class, and you're finishing up university now.
Yep.
And your major is?
Math, mechanical
engineering. And when will you finish?
A year and a half.
And 10 years from now, if you could have the perfect job, what would it be?
If you
work with
prosthetic
limbs. Ooh, where? What city?
Down
by the cities. Think bigger. Think. Okay, sorry. Think London for 2 years. Nice to have you here. Yeah. We've gathered to worship. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your love, for your spirit that has moved through the eons of time to touch our hearts. Allow that spirit to awaken in us today that we might see the world through your eyes and with your heart. Help us to love and care for each other more deeply these days. Bless us now in this time of worship. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. For opening worship, my Lord, what a morning. This one has like 4 measures of music, and then I'll lead the song for you, okay?
My Lord, we, my Lord, we, oh, my Lord, we.
Please turn to the order of confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, abounding in steadfast love toward us, healing the sick and raising the dead, showering us with every good gift.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Let's take a moment for silent confession. Let us confess together, just and gracious God, we come to you for healing and life. Our sins hurt others and diminish us. We confess them to you. Our lives bear the scars of sin. We bring these also to you. Show us your mercy, O God. Bind up our wounds. Forgive us our sins. And free us to love for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior.
The Apostle Paul assures us, when we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ, nailing the record of our sins to the cross. Jesus says to you, your sins are forgiven. Be at peace and tell everyone how much God has done for you.
Amen.
Let's join in the prayer of the day.
Almighty God, you sent your Holy Spirit to be the life and light of your church. Open our hearts to the riches of your grace, that we may be ready to receive you wherever you appear, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Please be seated as we invite the choir to sing their praises.
Thank you, Claire. Our first reading is from Hebrews, chapter 11. Abraham and Sarah exemplify the vision of faith that people of God enact in every age. Their hope and trust in God's promise allow them to face an unknown future and to receive the promise of God. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abraham opened when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth, for people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeing a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. Our psalm today is Psalm 33. please read the heavy print, and where you see the R, read, "Let your loving kindness be upon us as we place our hope in you." Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord. Happy the people chosen to be God's heritage. God sits firmly enthroned and watches all who dwell on the earth.
God fashions all their hearts and observes all their deeds. Let your loving kindness be upon us as we place our hope in you.
A king is not saved by the size of the army, nor are warriors rescued by their great strength.
The horse gives vain hope for victory, despite its great strength.
Truly, your eye is upon those who fear you, O Lord, upon those who wait for your steadfast love.
To deliver their lives from death, and to keep them alive in time of famine. Let your loving kindness be upon us, as we place our hope in you.
Our innermost being waits for you, O Lord, our helper and our shield.
Surely our heart rejoices in you, for you are.
Let your loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us, even as we place our hope in you.
Let your loving kindness be upon us, as we place our hope in you.
Please stand for the reading of the Gospel.
The Holy Gospel for the 12th Sunday after Pentecost is found in the 12th chapter of St. Luke.
Jesus encourages disciples to invest their hearts and live fully into God's reign. Instead of facing life with fear, those who know God's generosity are always ready to receive from God and to give to others. Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat. He will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn. Lord, listen to your children. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel lesson today talks about staying alert, staying awake. When life is happening, we've got to be alert and awake. I remember probably 7 or 8 years ago, this lesson came up. And Doug Trandall, as many of you remember him, was sitting right where you are, Mary. And during the sermon, I noticed that his eyes were closed. He wasn't staying awake, I don't think. So I asked him the following Thursday at Romeo's, Doug, I saw during the meditation that your eyes were closed. Were you listening to the words, or were you falling asleep? And he said, Pastor, I was doing inner eye inspection. He wanted to see if there were any holes in his eyelid, you see. So the following week, I got a hair. I think I asked you, Wally. Wally, do you ever wake up grumpy? And you said?
I said.
Yeah, but sometimes she doesn't want to get out of bed. And the following week, Wally made Doug Trandall a pair of glasses. And I want to tell you, this would be the greatest moneymaker our church ever had if you went church to church to church to sell these. People could take those glasses off and put them on during the meditation. Good idea, right? Jesus says, is giving us a new beatitude. Blessed are those who are awake. Blessed are those who stay awake. They're not amongst the ones found in the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount, but he's pronouncing a blessing to us. Blessed are those who stay awake, who the Master finds awake, ready for life, for whatever life presents them. Be ready for what happens in life. Be responsive. Be responsible to all the unexpected visitations or calls or opportunities or relationships that come your way. Stay awake. Stay alive.
I'm not ignoring the fact that this lesson basically has to do with the second coming of Christ. There's praise here for the servant who's ready when the Lord returns. And he's going to return. That's what the scriptures say. We don't know when or how when he's going to return, but you can't read the New Testament faithfully and miss the message that there's going to be a return. Maybe it's when we return to him. Or maybe he's going to come down here. I don't know. But the primary truth Jesus teaches about his second coming is that it's certain, but we don't know the timing. So his call here is to stay awake, to be ready for when the Spirit does come, for when God does come. And so he says, let your loins be girded, let your lamps be burning. Now we should put this lesson in the context. In Jesus' day, most people wore robes, and so to be ready, they would have to live. To move in robes is not very fun. In fact, I was going to say this morning, you guys, just leave your robes on because Jim was sweating like a dog, you know. And I get to be in my shirt sleeves, so it's not really fair, is it?
No.
Anyway, in Jesus' day, they would lift up their robes and tuck them in what they call the girdle. It's the belt or a cloth they had around so that they could move quickly. And the lamps, they were bowls of oil with a wick in, and so you had to keep the wick cut short or they'd eat up all the oil. So you got to, Jesus is saying, keep your wicks cut short so that you don't run out of oil. Be prepared. In a narrow sense, here Jesus is referring to the second coming of Christ, but basically, I think Jesus is saying, you be awake every moment of every day because God's Spirit, God's presence is going to be found wherever you travel. Be aware of it. Be awake. And so he speaks of life as a whole. And that's the way I want to look at it this morning. To stay alive, stay alert every moment of every day. As I think of this lesson, I think we need to stay awake because we never know how we're going to be surprised by the new possibilities. Most of us have lived long enough to know that the unexpected is going to happen. We can count on it. I've certainly found it true in my own life, especially during these days of preparing for retirement. I mean, life is really moving fast. Every day I wake up and say, what's next? You better be awake. What's next? You better get going. What's next? And you as a congregation. God is making all things new, the scriptures tell us. Some of us are a little concerned what's going to happen to the church. But take a deep breath. Use your imagination. Trust that God has something good in mind for you. Stay faithful. You're going to have a good ride. But stay awake. Don't go drifting off and doing this and doing that and forgetting the mission. And forgetting the Spirit because Spirit of God is present and he's doing a new thing. Stay awake. We never know where we're going to be surprised by some new possibility. And there's going to be a lot coming, I know. So don't settle down. Don't allow yourself to become dull and drowsy and start drifting through life. Don't allow those feelings of being trapped or cornered to prevail in your life. Don't be seduced by the deadly thoughts that you don't have any options. God's alive, and he's working in the world, and the Spirit is moving. And when God's alive, there's always new possibilities. Our God is a God who says through the prophet Isaiah, behold, I'm doing all things new. And his son Jesus, who's now ascended and sitting on the throne, says, behold, I make all things new. So the first word from our scripture today expresses hope that's ours. The scripture writer says, fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And he wants to give us the kingdom. We need to stay awake for that, though, because we never know when we're going to be surprised by some new possibility. So we got to stay awake. Now, the other side of that coin is that we never know when something important is going to be taken from us. You see the connection here? Whether it's the opening of a door or closing of a door, the demand still is, better stay awake. Better be awake to that Spirit. On my vacation, I took a trip into northern Manitoba with my canoe buddies. And one of my canoe buddies is a lawyer down in the cities. His daughter, Christine, is Karen and my goddaughter. So I always ask how Christine is doing. He said she'd recently traveled to South Africa, to Pretoria, for a conference. And one night, she and her two roommates went out for dinner and dancing and whatnot. They got back to the hotel to find out that the electricity was gone. The problem was they were on the 51st floor. I says, what'd they do then? Well, three girls, very imaginative. They says, first 17 stories, let's just tell happy stories, stories that'll make us laugh. The next, and so they did. The next 17 stories, they said, let's tell scary stories. And they each told a scary story, and it seemed to energize them. The last 17 stories, they climbed up, they said, let's tell sad stories. And by the time they were getting to the end, the sad stories had worn them down, and they got to the 50th floor. They weren't talking anymore. And one of the gals says, you know what, I've got the saddest story I've ever told. They said, what's that? She says, I forgot the key at the reception desk. You know, the key here is whether the door is being opened or the door is being closed. The key is that we stay awake. We got to stay awake and be aware of the Spirit, because we never know when we're going to be surprised by new possibilities. We never know when something important is going to be taken from us. It's true in our whole lives. The doors open and the doors close. There are limits, I found out, to our dreams and ambitions. When we're young, our dreams are all big and exciting, and we believe we can realize them. I mean, we think we might run our own prestigious law firm, or be a renowned surgeon, or be a media superstar, or be the president of a corporation, or an Nobel Prize winner in science, or sing like Pavarotti, or dance like Fred Astaire, or write like Camus, or paint like Andrew Wyeth. Or, I think you, Craig, wanting to golf like Jack Nicklaus. But then every young couple figures out maybe it ain't going to happen. I get couples to do premarital counseling. They come in and they assure me that theirs is going to be the ideal marriage, the perfect union, and I don't dispute that dreaming at all. Nor do I disparage ambition and idealism. In fact, give me an idealist any day over a pessimistic 25-year-old, Antonio. Yet those who have weathered the turnings of the season know that between the dream and reality falls the shadow. My friend T.S. Eliot said that. Long about 30 or 35 or 40, a shadow descends. We might learn that we don't possess the gifts we imagined we had, that we're not going to sing or paint or golf like anyone else but ourselves. That's the time when we become too old to be young, or too young to be old. It's a time we've got to saddle our dreams and accept the fact that some of them aren't going to come true. You may not get to London, Antonio, but I hope you put my new knee in. Hope you put my new shoulder in. We accept the fact that we might not be at the top of the game, that our dreams might not come true, that some of our ambitions might not be met. You remember when you grew up and you started having those thinking? So we need to stay awake. I guess that's what Jesus is telling us today. Because we never know when something important is going to happen, and they come along too few in life. So stay awake. Let me focus on one specific way in closing, and that's our relationships with each other. Time is fleeting. And we never know what's going to happen to any one of us. We need to stay awake in our relationships, to be caring and affirming and concerned and attentive, investing our lives in our families, in love, in ministry. Because we never know when something important is going to be taken from us. Stay awake, Jesus says, because we never know when world's going to turn. So Jesus pronounces a wonderful benediction for each one of us today, a beatitude that we all, I hope, receive. Blessed are those who stay awake.
And he's talking to all of us, no matter where we are in life or what life offers us. Stay awake. That's it. Stay awake. Alive to the Spirit, alive to life, no matter where we are. And he promises us in the Scripture, have no fear, little flock. For your Father, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That's what our next song is, have no fear. One of my favorite. Have no fear, little flock, have no fear, little flock. For the Father has called you to give you the kingdom. Have no fear, little flock. Let's sing that, hymn 764. Please rise. Let us join in the offertory prayer on the bottom of page 4. Let us pray together. God of mercy and grace, the eyes of all laid upon you, and you open your hand in blessing. Fill us with good things at your table, that we may come to help of all we need. Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Rooted in Christ and rising to serve, let us pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. Faithful God, encourage your church in new ventures of faith. New congregations, ministries, conversations, and partnerships. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Creating God, the abundance of your creation fills us with awe and delight. Call us daily to be vigilant and responsible stewards of all you have made. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Merciful God, calm the fears that produce wars, prejudice, and injustice. Equip governments, leaders, and peacemakers to be models of cooperation and reconciliation among the nations. Hear us, O God. Restoring God, comfort all who long for relief from circumstances of grief or sickness. We especially remember in our prayers Al Samuelson, Bill Johnson, and those in our lives who need your healing touch. Bless hospitals, mental health facilities, and all places of healing. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Steadfast God, we pray for those in life transitions that bring anxiety. Heal those hurt by broken promises, and sustain them with your never-ending love. Hear us, O God.
We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your many blessings, for this church family, for our own families, for this country in which we live, the people who surround us to grant us support and life. We lift them up to you and ask for your blessing. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for all the saints who now enjoy unfailing treasure in heaven. We rejoice that we are united with them in your love. Hear us, O God. We lift our prayers to you, O God, trusting your promise to hear us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let's confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Jesus told his disciples that he would show us the way to a full life. He would tell us the truth. And as we lived his teachings, he would give us life. His last teaching at his last meal with his disciples, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of your sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Please join me in the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
This morning we will celebrate communion using intinction. If I hand you the bread, please dip it in the wine or the grape juice. If you are gluten intolerant, please let us know and we will serve you bread that is appropriate. Again, all are welcome at the table of our Lord. Come, eat and drink. rise. The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in his precious blood strengthen and preserve you into everlasting life. Amen. Let's join in the prayer after communion. O God, as a mother comforts her child, so you comfort your people, carrying us in your arms and satisfying us with this food and drink, the body and blood of Christ. Send us now as your disciples, announcing peace and proclaiming that the reign of God has come near, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go in peace. Proclaim the good news.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn is Shout to the Lord, 821.